Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the two-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 98 of Tatooine Sons. Resistance Reborn has been described by some within Lucasfilm as a must-read going into The Rise of Skywalker, but not everyone will have that chance. Never fear, we're sharing 10 need-to-know facts to save the day. Plus, we've got hot takes and more.
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first?
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Tervis?
Oh, do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that Porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen to it.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars, from the perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
And Cheetah Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you probably not read Resistance Reborn.
You all right over there?
I had a frog in my throat.
Yeah,
frog
going, like,
you and Baby Yoda.
Spoilers!
Oh, geez. Sorry.
We'll have to cut
fired.
That out.
No, we're not cutting.
Fired.
Yeah, anyway.
Oh, and of
you
course
okay?
you have Star Wars without bizarre father figures that make fun of me.
Well, I only make fun of people I like. So.
Here's the Bowtie Jedi guy.
So I must like you a lot.
Yes.
How's it going, guys?
It's going...
It's a
good.
Mess.
Yeah, finals week is coming. Yeah, it's really, it's here for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, how's that going?
Oh, it's a mess.
Calculus, chemistry, and literature.
Yep.
You can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about you, Sam? Or Nate? What's your name over there? Yeah. That other kid. Nate.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Fine.
Yeah. School's just pretty much normal for
it's
you.
It's just
school.
Right along.
Yeah. We are less than 2 weeks from the release of our 100th episode. Oh, no, that's not exactly what everybody's excited
impressive.
About.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence.
Yeah,
maybe
no,
I
no,
should
no.
Read on this one.
Great kid! Don't get cocky!
Yeah, our 100th episode is going to be fun, though.
It is going to be fun.
It's going to start with an interview with Matt Martin from the Lucasfilm Story Group.
Mm-hmm.
His behind-the-scenes story of Turbis as well, which isn't as exciting as we thought it was.
No, but it's
but
still,
it
fun,
still
to
fun to hear.
Yeah.
And then how he became a part of Lucasfilm Story Group. And then an interview with, I don't know, some guy that won an Oscar for Star Wars in 1977.
Yeah. Some dude.
The original one. Hirsch. Cool guy. It was a lot of fun hearing some of the behind-the-scenes stories. And then we're going to be breaking down, like, totally spoilers for the last
no
hour of the show. We'll have seen The Rise of Skywalker twice.
Wait, is it no bars held or
no holds barred?
What? That makes
no
hold, sense.
It's a wrestling term.
Oh.
No holds barred.
Barred meaning?
So
like
you can
limits.
Hold. You can hold.
You can do anything that you want. It's nothing is off limits.
That makes sense.
But that doesn't happen a lot.
No, so.
Now I learned something.
The more you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's some cool stuff coming up in the next few days. Star Wars related.
There's
some big stuff.
We
right?
got the Mandalorian that came out today.
Yeah, and we haven't seen it yet. But when we have time in between everything else we got going on, we'll watch that.
Yeah,
definitely.
So we're excited about that. And then you can check out our Mandalorian mashup episode on Monday.
Yeah.
Where we break fun. It down.
If you want total spoilers.
Yeah, that one's always spoilers. And then,
spoiler
and then we got Star Wars Resistance coming out on Sunday.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
That one looks like a decent one.
Yeah, I wasn't able to watch the clip because I had bad service, and I should probably get on that sometime.
I don't know if I rarely do watch the clip.
I never watch the clips.
So. I watch the clip every week, so I got to stay with the tradition.
Okay. And then and that comes out Wednesdays, our breakdown of that.
Yeah.
That
episode, and then, that'll of course, be out Wednesday. This episode.
Then next, a week from today, is when our Predictions Sure to Go Wrong episode.
Ooh.
Comes out. We did it.
Are we going to do the theories that we came up with earlier this year as our predictions?
Oh, we're going to talk about that. Okay. We will readdress the galaxy's craziest episode 9 theory.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably not as crazy as
it's not as crazy as we thought it was when we did it.
In March.
So we'll talk about that. But anyway, this episode is going to be a little bit different. So anyway, but then also we got some comics and stuff coming out. I mean, there's like Dr. Aphra, Volume 6, Unspeakable Rebel Super Weapon, graphic novel. Coming out Wednesday. Target Vader 6 coming out on Wednesday. Okay. Dr. Aphra 40 is coming out.
That's pretty
cool. And then, I don't know, Star Wars Adventures 29 with Turbis the Poor.
Illusion of the story.
I know.
I hope that.
So, did you guys see what happened? Did you see what happened today on
Wikipedia?
The Card Trader.
Oh, no,
Card Trader.
No, I didn't look up that officially on Card Trader. I should sometime.
Yeah, it was officially like officially released Beaumont Kin.
Oh, wow.
And Dominic Monaghan's character.
Well, then.
And so it's clear that Beaumont from Star Wars Adventures 27 through 29 with Turbis the Porg is in The Rise of Skywalker. And in the international poster, right next to Beaumont.
There was a poor.
There's a poor.
Actually, we don't really have to call that an international post anymore because they released it for real D3D in America.
Oh, so it's real. Is Turbis in the
same day as the international post?
What are we going to do?
I'm going to say he's not.
Because
why? He wants to be surprised. You're a pessimist and a
cynic. No, because either I'm right or I'm pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. What do you think, BB Nate? Is he in?
Yes, because I'm not a pessimistic cynic.
There we go.
Did I say that?
But
I think it's gonna happen.
If he's in there, I'll probably scream.
I'm gonna definitely scream. Both times we see it on the 19th.
Yeah, but if it throws out of the first theater though, because of screaming, we probably shouldn't do it the second time.
No, they'll be like, "Why did you scream?" And we'll be like, "We'll watch this video and then read this comic book."
And they'll be like,
"Okay, go ahead and scream."
Go ahead and scream, and we'll give you,
because the manager's name is Elvis. And that's
a cool name.
That is a cool name.
Yeah.
Should I name my kid Elvis? If I have a guy, I'm going to name him Elvis.
You need to name him Turbis.
And by the way, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/TatooineSons. There's like, I don't know, 500,000 titles probably by this point to choose from on your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. I'm going to highly suggest, after reading Resistance Reborn, you guys have not read it yet, have you?
No.
And you're not planning on it, right?
Probably not.
No, because I have really other books I have to deal with.
Yeah, I'm reading a lot of Star Wars right now. And I'm going to highly suggest you go back, if you are a big fan of Resistance Reborn, go back and read Bloodline by Claudia Gray.
Oh, that one was good.
Well, there's tie-ins.
Oh, really?
Lots of tie-ins. Mm. So, enough of the small talk. Let's talk about last week's, 2-hour poll of the week.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question until after I've done it. What? No!
That's what I thought when I realized the other day that I hadn't done the poll yet, and we were going to try to record that night. So I did a flash poll really fast. I threw it up for 2 hours.
Okay. And it got
123 votes in 2 hours.
Which is the best you can get, because it's 1, 2, 3.
Whoa.
That's or for 120, that'd be kind of cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, what really happened between episode 8 and 9? So I explained a little bit in there. Did Kathleen Kennedy and J.J. Abrams get the production back on track after the removal of Trevorrow?
Okay.
Was J.J. brought in to fix what Ryan did? So that's a separate idea.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then was there never any real direction in the first place?
Okay.
For it. And so then, other comment below.
That the retconning Ryan is kind of a...
So it's in that order. JJ and KK and JJ course correction is the Colin Trevorrow had it off track. They came in and fixed it.
Okay,
that's that. And then the JJ retconning Ryan is the second option. And then never had direction is the third option. And then other comments.
Yeah.
So we had 123 votes, which is cool. 1, 2, 3. 12% said JJ retconning Ryan.
Hey,
I'm thrilled beyond words that the voters in this poll don't feel that that's the case, because it's not. Other comment below got 19%. 24% said never had a direction. And 45% said KK and JJ are course correcting after Colin Trevorrow left. Now, I have lots of you that commented below. I want to address your comments, because I'm the one that does the poll.
Yes.
Okay. So
before we get started, though, I just want to say something kind of fun about the whole retconning Ryan and stuff. I was talking to a guy at this my young adult's Christmas party, and we got on the subject of Star Wars, and I was like, "Yeah, you know, JJ was like a part of the production of The Last Jedi, right? Like he was there for all of it." He was like, "Really?" I'm like, "Yeah. It's not like Ryan just went off and did his own thing. Like JJ was right there.
He was the executive producer,
right?" So he was, like, really surprised by that.
Yeah, most people are. Yeah, so some of you were a little upset with this poll that were – so I want to address your concern. Okay. What I was meaning when I said KK and JJ course correction, you guys took as meaning I thought Ryan did the wrong thing. If you've listened to our show or followed us on Twitter at all or Facebook at all
– or seen any of our posts except for this poll
– you would know that I do not believe – that JJ came in to course correct Ryan's
problems,
choices in The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. What I meant by course correction was what I said actually up earlier in the poll description, where I said that Colin Trevorrow was taking it off course. The reason we did this was because our last episode, we talked a lot about how JJ or Kathleen Kennedy said that the Emperor was always supposed to be in it. Colin Trevorrow said that JJ's the one that brought him in at the last minute after he took over. Then we talked about all of JJ Abrams' thoughts on The Last Jedi. And so there's a large body of conversation around this poll. Okay, so please don't get offended. I did not think that Ryan did anything wrong. We love Ryan. Everybody knows that. Okay, 45% said that. So let's read some of the answers.
Yeah, so this first one is from Clark Griswold Ross.
You know who Clark Griswold is, right?
It sounds familiar.
National Lampoon.
Christmas oh, yeah.
He's doing a Christmas thing.
Griswold. I get it. Okay. Cool. And his handle is at underscore spider, excuse me, star.
Underscore.
I'm going to reset. I've been doing calculus all day, so.
Go for it. You're doing great.
Forgive me. At star underscore spider 27.
I feel like he likes Star Wars and Spider-Man. I don't know. That just seems like.
Wait, wasn't he the guy we thought it was like.
I think we thought that was Ryan at one point.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway,
we were joking about him, like, creating a Stan account.
Yeah. So he said, it's really quite difficult to say. I don't think JJ would go so far as to totally retcon The Last Jedi, but I also refuse to believe that Rian Johnson had total free reign of what he could do in The Last Jedi. I want to believe that there is some form of plan, but that won't be clear until the 19th of December.
He's conflicted.
Yeah.
It sounds conflicted. It's okay, Clark. I'm going to give some, you know, I'm going to pull from Force Center and Joseph Scrimshaw. We're going to do some Star Wars counseling.
Okay.
I fully believed, Clark, that when we get done with the Rise of Skywalker on December 19th, that the entire story is going to blow your mind and you're going to love everything that happened in The Last Jedi.
That's like what Return of the Jedi did.
Just like, which I hope we get to watch when we're done recording tonight.
Oh,
that'd be awesome.
Anyway, yeah.
But the next one is Nicholas Arcus. Okay, at Nick Arcus. That makes it really
easier.
Much easier. But I am not convinced there would have been a course correction unless Carrie had passed. I wonder if Trevorrow's story was unsalvageable after that and JJ was brought back to finish plot threads that he would have been most familiar with. I see it as pragmatic
there we go.
Over a conspiracy.
That was a very... well communicated point. I think that there's a lot to do with that.
I hadn't thought of that.
With Trevorrow being left, taken away.
That's interesting.
JJ knew the story best. He knew where they were trying to go with it. He was the one that had to come in and fix it because, I mean, when Carrie passed, that changed everything. Mm-hmm. And we knew that back in all the way 3 years ago. Can you believe it'll be 3 years this month that Carrie passed?
That's sad.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Remember where we were?
Yes.
No.
When we heard it?
No.
BB Nate, where were we when we heard?
Our second watching of Rogue One.
We were sitting in the theater. It was getting ready to start. We were watching the trailers, and I got a notification.
That she had a heart attack.
That the plane was glad that she was in a
and
grave condition.
Then right before we saw Leia at the end, we got information.
No, because it was a couple of days before.
That. Oh, that's right.
But
that's
it may have been when at another time we were at the theater because we went and saw that one a bunch of times.
Too many.
Last one is from one of our amazing Patreon supporters, Rich All 13. Rise is what his.
Okay.
He's calling.
Okay. Right. How did he like communicate that accent through?
Pretty good.
Yeah,
it's clearly Darth Sidious telling Anakin to rise.
I just didn't get to that.
I definitely don't expect a retcon. There's always from a certain point of view. I simply think JJ is continuing the story he wanted to tell with The Force Awakens. I think that in all honesty, all of you were correct. So, all right, why don't we move on? The Rise of Skywalker isn't as long as we originally thought.
Dang it. Well, that's okay.
Ahmed Best is coming back to Star Wars.
Yeah.
And JJ isn't buying into the red thread of fate.
I got a bad feeling about this.
It's time for hot takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Well, I mean, sorry about that. Somebody just tweeted Turbis and tagged us on some art that they did or socks or something. They got Turbis costume.
Awesome. Anyway. Anything with Porgs is awesome. Yeah,
I agree.
We do like it. So they asked if this is Jordan. Hey, Jordan at Assassin Pikachu. Dress up as a Porg every single time you see the Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. I absolutely am thrilled about this. So, yeah, that's cool. All right, The Rise of Skywalker runtime confirmed by J.J. Abrams. I picked the article on CNET.com, although you could find about 400 of them talking about this. So for J.J. Abrams, he's speaking out. The ninth film in the saga runs 2 hours and 21 minutes.
I was hoping for like 3 to 4 hours.
Nope. Abrams sold Entertainment Weekly, though he did hedge a bit by saying, I believe it's 2 hours and 21 minutes. That's still long enough for fans that might want to cut back on their green, green or blue milk consumption. But it's not quite as long as it was originally reported. AMC Theaters had listed the runtime time as 2 hours and 35 minutes, which would have made it the longest film in the saga. At this point, if it comes in at 2 hours and 21 minutes, it's the fourth longest in the saga. BB Nate, how you feeling?
Oh, okay. I mean, it's a Star Wars movie. It only happens pretty rarely, and it will start to become more rare. So I'm just happy to have a Star Wars movie coming out. And I mean, that would be a glorious...
So that extra 15 minutes isn't going to kill you?
That'll be a glorious... Maybe he's talking about it's going to be 2 hours and 21 minutes without the credits.
No, that's not the way to do it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it could be.
Because the credits only last 15 minutes.
Yeah, 10 to 15 on a movie like this, 10 minutes or so. What do you think, Samuel Hutt?
I have a question. Okay. How long...
I'm not JJ, but I'll try to answer it.
How long was it reported that the soundtrack was for the movie?
I don't remember. I think it was 2 hours and 35 minutes, but I think that what we've seen is that... he could have edited the soundtrack down too because in the final editing.
Oh, yeah. That makes
but sense. We are going to have every theme that is played in Star
That's
Wars
what we're
in this movie. So.
But anyway, you cool? No. You cool with the timing, the length of it?
I'd like more. I'd always like more. But, you know, again, it's Star Wars, so I can't complain. Okay. But, you know, all I'm complaining about is I want more Star Wars. So
as long as it tells the story that they wanted to tell and it does it in a... Watch what I'm going to do here. Satisfying. It's going to be satisfying. I'm confident it's going to be satisfying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody's telling me it's going to be
like
satisfying.
Like a Snickers?
Like a Snickers bar.
Do you think we'll have...
We should give away Snickers at the podcast thing.
I think we should.
Just like little Snicker bars and say, since you're going to walk out here, are you satisfied? You know, see if we can get Snickers. Maybe we get an endorsement deal from Snickers.
I highly doubt that.
But... now I forgot what I was going to say because you talked about Snickers.
Are you hungry now?
You hungry now?
No, I hate
Snickers. You're not yourself when you're hungry.
I hate Snickers. But
what's wrong with you?
I never like
it. All right, well, then we'll move on. Ahmed Best is hosting a Star Wars game show on Disney Plus.
I know. This seems so awesome.
Oh, what was that show called?
We'll talk about that. This was from Gizmodo. Did you ever watch the kids' game shows? You guys probably didn't. Double Dare.
Nickelodeon.
You guys Double Dare? Guts. Mm-hmm. Double Dare was on when I was a kid. It was awesome. Or Legends of the Hidden Temple. Have you guys heard of these?
Nope.
know. I just watched the slime game shows on
the TV. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, if you think of that but Star Wars, then you've got this new thing. Your prayers have been answered. The show now exists. It's called Star Wars Jedi Temple Challenge. It's going to launch on Disney Plus in 2020. It's going to be hosted by Jar Jar Binks himself.
Yeah.
My best.
Woohoo.
And the show will test young contestants' abilities in the core Jedi principles of strength, knowledge, and bravery as they face thrilling and fun obstacles in an attempt to achieve the rank of Jedi Knight.
Am I too old to compete?
I think so. Yeah.
I think I am.
What do you think about Sam Ahmed Best returning to the Star Wars
family? That's fun. I like that. And I think that's a good medium for him to return in. It's cool. Because, you know, he's a comedy guy. And I could just see him.
Like, and he's physical in his comedy and stuff.
Right. Yeah. I could see him, like, doing a game show like that. That'd be a lot of fun. And, I mean, this would be cool to see, like, the first Star Wars themed game show.
Yeah.
So that'd be fun.
Younglings Podcast is really lobbying to get the kids on. And
yeah,
they want BB Nate on there too.
I would love to be on
there's
there
a little,
too.
There's a little campaign going on right now.
I would love to.
Can I go?
I think no. You're too old. You're 18, dude.
Okay, well, I won't compete. But
you're
can
in
I
college.
Do the course?
No. Okay. What do you think? Do you think that this would have happened, BB Nate, had there not been the overwhelming outpouring of love and acceptance for Ahmed Best that we experienced at Star Wars Celebration?
I think it would have still happened, but I think that that kind of confirmed people. Like, that confirmed that this show is going to still be popular, even though the actor for Jar Jar Binks is the host. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that it'll still be a very well-received show, because it's kids trying to be Jedi. I mean, what else could you ask for?
That's going to be pretty fun.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
How can you be negative with that?
Like, yeah.
And this is Star Wars.
And if you're negative, then you're not a true Star Wars fan. Just joking.
Hold on.
Anyway.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All right, J.J. Abrams debunks one Reylo fan theory in The Rise of Skywalker.
He's been debunking a lot of things.
He has been. He's on damage control. He's like prepping the fans this week for what will and will not happen.
I know we've been giving you a lot of TV spots, but here, let me just give you some more little nuggets for you.
This is, I took the Vanity Fair article. This is where he said it. J.J. Abrams was willing to dispel one notion that has spread among the fans, the theory of the red thread of fate. That's an aspect of East Asian. We talked about it on the show. We did a whole episode on it.
Yeah.
Got in trouble because we forgot to credit on the website.
Oh, noticed. Yeah.
Sorry about that, Lindsay. There's an aspect of East Asian lore that says two people who are destined to be lovers are connected by an unbreakable, invisible red line that matchmaking gods maintain to draw the individuals inexorably closer together.
Inexorably.
Yeah. The theory received a surge in adherence and some well-reasoned analysis, which obviously is they're talking about our episode.
Obviously.
I mean, that's definitely...
What else could it be?
Great kid! Don't get cocky!
After Rey was spotted in one of the trailers wielding a lightsaber while a red ribbon dangled from one hand. However, Abrams had some bad news for those fans. No. He said, that is not something...
Then what was the whole thing
that we incorporated...
Ryan?
Yeah, that's the question.
What were those tweets?
That was him playing.
I think he was indicating Reylo, but probably that people took it in the direction that they didn't. What do you think this means for the Star Wars, Rise of the Red Ribbon fans out there in Reylo and all this? How do you guys feel? Do you think Reylo's happening in like a romantic thing now that what we've been hearing the last few days?
I don't want to say either way.
Why?
I just don't know. I don't have enough information to make a good decision.
Exactly. We don't know. And I don't know if I want to say anything.
It's been interesting to watch them dance around the questions for the last few days.
Yeah.
Daisy, Adam, JJ, some others, seems to indicate that there's clearly a connection. They did a whole article on Vanity Fair about Reylo, talking about the connection between Rey and Kylo Ren, or Ben Solo. However, the challenge was he seems to be backing off of the fact that there was a romantic relationship.
Mm.
So I'm curious.
So there won't be Reylo in those terms, you think?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, that's good, because I was a little nervous. I mean,
we'll see.
That's why I didn't want to say either way, because they could do it and pull it off, I feel like. But it's just I'm just a little nervous about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of people that feel that way. Here's what I'm worried about, though. I'm just going to be honest. As the person that lives on Twitter for us, our show, I've seen there's really two camps when it comes to – okay, so you've got two big camps within Star Wars. We've been talking about that for 2 years. Those that loved The Last Jedi and those that didn't. And then there's a group in the middle. There's a pretty good group in the middle, but they liked The Last Jedi. They didn't love it. They liked it. But there's a small group that doesn't. Okay, within the camp of those that liked or loved The Last Jedi, there's two camps. Those that are all in on the Reylo, romantic, get married, live happily ever after Reylo stuff. And then those that are like, oh God, no, please, no. No. The Michael Scott office meme.
Okay.
So here's what I'm worried about. Nobody's – there's going to be a very, very unhappy group. Either Reylo's going to happen – and
like you said yourself, this is Star Wars. Not everyone's going to be happy.
That's just I'm worrying about it. But we'll see. Okay. All right. Well, it's time for us to talk about some Resistance Reborn stuff. If I can find the right sound effect here. All right. One of us has finally finished reading Resistance Reborn. One of us. Who's that?
Buster?
Nope. No, it's me. Anyone who has read it will tell you it is a critical bridge between the events of The Last Jedi.
Is it?
I think so. And everything happening in The Rise of Skywalker. But for those of you who haven't read the book yet, and might not be able to because of finals, this is all for you guys. I promise you. This whole segment was me wanting to give you guys the information you needed. Aww, because I love you.
Thank you. I'm your dad.
I'm always looking out for you. I'm going to go ahead and break down the 10 need-to-know facts from the Resistance Reborn book with the hopes of enhancing your viewing pleasure in a couple of weeks.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, so this is from GamesRadar.com.
.com.
Yeah, they did a really good article about Resistance Reborn and like lots of fun things that you learned from it that will help you with watching The Rise of Skywalker. And there was a bunch. I think it was like 18.
Dang.
But I didn't think 18 was a good number for what we were doing.
Well, Sammy is 18.
So it is true. I could have done 14, right? Or 44. Anyway, I would combine them and move them together and made my own list. But I want to give them credit because that would be rude not to credit them. They did a good article. That would be rude. So you guys ready? My top things that I'm stealing from.
You're not stealing.
I'm stealing from GamesRadar. I'm borrowing, but I'm giving you credit, and I'll link to it in the show notes. So that we need to know about the Resistance Reborn. You guys ready?
Right.
There are more Resistance survivors than we thought.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. At the end of Star Wars The Last Jedi, it looked like the entirety of the Resistance was squeezed inside the Millennium Falcon, all around that Dajarik
board. Yeah, you got board. R2 sitting there.
Turbis on his head. It's Turbis, dude. It's Turbis. That's so flippin' amazing. I'm losing my mind here a little bit. Luckily, there were a few more survivors. We know Poe Dameron's Black Squadron included Tem and Snap Wexley as part of Grey Gumber. Yeah. And Snap's important. Because without Snaps, there would be no... They would have to find somebody else to name him. Jessica Pava, who's played by a lady named Jessica Henwick.
Wow.
Yeah, she was in Force Awakens.
Okay.
They're married too, I think.
That's cool.
Yeah. I think. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. We're off on another mission while the First Order was slowly picking off their colleagues.
That's rude. Why weren't they there?
And the Resistance also managed to hang on to about 10 X-Wing fighters, an A-Wing, and a small number of civilian ships, according to Resistance Reborn.
Well, man, then they're a force to be reckoned
ready
with.
Ready to go.
A force to be reckoned with.
Do I need to throw something at you?
So what do you guys think? I mean, where's it going to go? How are they going to build up the fleet in that year? If that's all that they've got left.
I don't know. They also have all of the Colossus. So that's pretty nice.
That's right.
Well, that is part of it, yeah. We're going to talk about that next week.
And Vi. with all of Batu, basically.
Well, no. If you've read the book, there ain't much there, according to the book so far.
There's a lot of civilians there in Galaxy's
Edge. Yeah. So, anyway. So, is that surprising, kind of, that there's that many people? Or is it not as many as you'd hoped?
Well, I mean, it's more than what I thought. But when you said, you know, that there was more than just the people on the Falcon, I was hoping for a little bit more. But
yeah.
What about Wedge?
That's pretty cool.
You think? Well, they didn't mention Wedge, so maybe we'll talk about him. There are reasons the Galaxy didn't come to the Resistance aid.
Oh, they actually explain it.
They give thoughts.
Is
behind
this
it.
Book just a giant like explanation of the what's happening?
It happens literally just like 4 or 5 days after. It starts like 4 or 5 days after The Last Jedi.
So Rey's reading the Jedi texts?
I don't know. She's not talking about the Jedi texts.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, she's not a central... She's in it, but she's not a central character by any means. She's a side character in this book. The primary character is going to be Poe. Poe and Finn. And that's pretty much... It's about that.
Okay.
It's about those two. Cool. It's a buddy cop movie. Book between them. When the Resistance were holed up on Crait, Leia sent out a desperate call for help, and yet nobody in the galaxy answered. It wasn't simply a case of cosmic indifference, though. On top of Leia's suspicions that the First Order have found a way to block Resistance transmissions.
Ooh.
In the book, she starts talking about how she suspects that they've done that.
That would make sense.
The bad guys have been also systematically disappearing. You guys let me read.
I like to read along with you.
No. Former members, they've been disappearing former members of the Rebellion and others they suspect of being Resistance sympathizers. That's like one of the primary plot line of this book is that they have been going after Resistance sympathizers and old Rebellion people. And kidnapping them, sending them to prison. On Corellia.
Really?
Yeah. The Forced Order is in control of Corellia in this storyline. What do you think?
No, that's interesting. I mean, that does help.
What do you think about the blocking of the transmissions?
That makes a lot more sense than really any of the other ideas that people have come up with. I think that's the most likely.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's not outside the realm of possibilities. I mean, they did come up with hyperspace tracking, so why couldn't they block a couple transmissions? So,
true.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And then what about the idea of them like kidnapping former Resistance or Rebellion or current Resistance sympathizers and old Rebellion?
I mean, it's also not surprising that they would do that sort of thing. They're like space Nazis.
Does it help make sense of what happened on Crait though? As to why they didn't respond?
I mean, like no one responded at all. Like that's a little weird to think about. So yeah, I mean, I like both of those ideas.
Have we gotten any indication in Resistance, Star Wars Resistance, that the Colossus ever received that transmission?
Not yet.
Interesting.
Okay.
All right. Leia still has some friends in high places.
Really? Even after the whole thing in Bloodlines?
Yep. The New Republic may be gone, but General Organa can still call in a favor from acquaintances she's made during a lifetime of service, thanks to her relationship with retired Twi'lek pilot Yendor. You guys should remember Yendor. Senator Yendor in Bloodline. She's able to find sanctuary for the First Order on the planet of Ryloth. Albeit briefly. They end up having to flee at the end.
But they went to Ryloth.
They went to Ryloth, and Yendor, who was the, remember in Bloodline, this is why I talked about that earlier in the connection. In Bloodline, one of the storylines that starts is that there's some mob thing going on, like a gangster kind of thing, like taking over Ryloth. And the senator from Ryloth actually requests the New Republic Senate to do something about it. And Leia goes.
Oh, yeah.
With this other guy that ends up, like, selling her out. So he's the one that gets what's his name? Do I have it on the notes here? I think I do. Cristofo Rancisco.
That sounds familiar.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
right?
That name sounds very familiar.
I can't remember.
I think it is
Cristofo.
Yeah, Rancisco.
Rancisco, something like that.
I think that sounds familiar.
Yeah, I thought
was he
I
the
should
guy?
Have that no, on the notes here.
I was thinking that's the guy who was like an imperial
Well, he had to, he was like, he was sort of obsessed with it, with the first, yeah, with the old Imperial.
Yeah, like helmets and all that stuff.
And then he finds out that she was Darth Vader's daughter. It gets leaked to him, and he's the one that, like, exposes it in the Senate.
Yeah.
And that's what exposes Leia to the world, which some people think is that's part of the downfall of Ben Solo and all of this. Yeah, he was the Twi'lek senator, Yendor, is the one that is in that book that makes the request. He's very close with her.
Yeah. That's cool.
It is
cool. That's a cool little throwback. Yeah.
The First Order keeps a list of its enemies.
Not surprised.
It's got a kill list.
It's got a blacklist.
A kill list. The main MacGuffin in Resistance Reborn is that the First Order's list of political prisoners. In other words, it has a handy recruitment guide for the Resistance.
Yeah.
Okay. So expect the Resistance numbers to have swelled significantly by the time the opening crawl rolls in The Rise of Skywalker. So the whole plot line, and this is totally, I mean, if you're listening to a podcast episode that's like 10 Need to Know Facts from Resistance Reborn, then spoiler alert, we're talking about that book. So,
what's a MacGuffin again?
A MacGuffin, like starts the story off, right? For example, in The Force Awakens, then finding the map, the Luke Skywalker, that's the MacGuffin. Okay. In this one, the MacGuffin is they find out about this list and they want to go steal it so they can like start recruiting, finding out who the Resistance is going after. Kidnapping, putting in prison on Corellia.
You mean all of that? Orders?
Yeah, the First Order. Yeah, exactly. The First Order is going after these people. So the Resistance wants to get the list so that they can go and recruit them before
the First Order
gets a hold of them. That's the whole premise of the book.
That's interesting.
It is an interesting book. And in that list is a certain former senator that's in Bloodline. Not just Yendor. No, it's that Christoffo guy. I can't remember his name.
I think it was Ren Christoffo.
I don't know. I'm just going to see if it pulls something up. Rent. It pulled up Rent. Bloodling.
It was spelled.
How would you know? It was an audio book.
Because
how would you know
it was an audio?
Yeah, it's going to be right here. I'm going to find it right here. Right. All right, and it's just driving me nuts. That's the only reason I'm doing it.
Okay,
so,
okay.
Ren Castroffa, come on. I know this is terrible audio. So talk amongst yourselves for a second.
But anything interesting other than finals?
No, I mean, let's keep this Star Wars oriented. I don't really remember much about Bloodlines. Like I remember bits and pieces.
I remember it's a good book.
We were driving from what?
Ransom Costerfo.
Ransom Costerfo.
I knew I wasn't getting it right, and that's why it was bugging me. It's Ransom Costerfo.
Ransom. Ah.
So it was with the C. Good job.
See? Yeah. Anyway. I'm smart.
He's on one of those lists they find. Actually, they think he was already arrested. So, anyway.
Which is ironic, because, you know, he was, like, a whole Empire sympathizer, and then he gets arrested by, like, the new
Empire. Well, he gets, like... if you recall at the end of Bloodline, he gets exposed as being a traitor and then thrown into prison.
He was a good guy then.
He was a good guy, he had the best of intentions, but then he, like, betrayed Leia. And Leia forgives him, but he still gets, like, blacklisted and all this stuff.
I do not remember that. Okay.
Yeah. Number five, the First Order isn't sitting still. No kidding.
Really?
Yeah. The Galactic Empire spinoff hasn't been content to simply rest on its laurels, even though its Starkiller base has been wiped out by the New Republic's center. Has already wiped out the New Republic's center of government in the Hostian system. It was, yeah. It's making a concerted effort to take over as many worlds as possible. It's like on the warpath in this. Many governments fall into line out of fear of what will happen if they don't. Which is fair enough, seeing as the First Order has no qualms about taking worlds by force or blowing them up entirely.
Yeah.
So, what do you guys think about that?
Again, and not crazy surprising about that. I mean, they're basically like the new Roman Empire almost. Not trying to talk about the Empire, but, you know, their goal almost, is...
They're really the Nazi Empire reborn.
Okay. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Which is actually interesting because JJ talked about when he thought about the First Order, he built it off of this like a what if scenario. You guys realize, and you've seen the movie with Oscar Isaac where he's hunting down the Nazis.
Yes.
Operation Finale.
Yeah,
that's it.
In Argentina,
yeah,
a whole bunch of Nazi leaders went to So the premise behind the First Order, according to J.J. Abrams, is a what-if scenario. What if the Nazis regrouped in Argentina and recreated the Nazi Empire?
Jeez. That's scary.
Well, that yeah, would... that's what it is with this. And so,
no, that's cool. I mean, it makes sense that they're trying to take over as many worlds as possible. Their goal is to rule the galaxy.
Yeah, and it's kind of what happened in Europe in the 30s with the Nazis. They were just going after everybody and taking over. And so, like, and some countries, like Austria, just basically surrendered without a bullet being fired because they were so terrified of the German Empire. They basically said, yeah, you can take over. And that's the kind of stuff that's happening in this book with planets,
that would happen
with whole systems.
Sound of Music.
Yes, that is.
Yay, Sound of Music. I learned.
You know, the hills are alive.
With the Sound of Music.
So have you guys ever noticed, by the way, this is a side note, but have you ever noticed that the plot line of Mary Poppins is sort of like a Disney version of Sound of Music? We watched Mary Poppins. Mom and I watched Mary Poppins last night.
I wouldn't know.
It's about a nanny coming in to fix some really bad children that are just being misunderstood by their father. And it's Julie Andrews in both.
Yeah, it is. Just minus the Nazis.
Yeah, one's got a lot of different kinds of songs.
Yeah.
One's Disney.
Huh.
Interesting. Yeah.
It is interesting.
Yeah. Leia doesn't know, number six, Leia doesn't know why her son turned to the dark side. But she does know that Rey is a big deal and she's not sure about Finn. So this is the way Leia is thinking.
Okay.
In this. This is actually fun. This is one where I took like three different things and put them into one. You can tell.
Yeah, I can see it.
So let's talk about them. All that. Leia made references to Supreme Leader Snoke tempting Ben Solo to the dark side. And The Force Awakens, you remember it was Snoke and she's telling
him. Yeah.
But she still has no idea what it was that tipped him over the edge. And then Luke was tempted to murder him in one evening. You know, what was that all about?
What was that?
Yeah. So she says, talking to Rey earlier, what's the problem?
As soon as you started talking about that scene from The Force Awakens, I just give Nathan.
Oh God, no!
And we're both thinking
about. Got to do it.
No, I don't remember it. We're gonna have to watch it after the podcast.
I was just so you guys know. Explain
the bad lip reading of The Force Awakens. There's one scene. It's the scene where Leia is talking to Han, and they dub it over. It is
one of the funniest things
we've ever seen. We watched it at. The first celebration we went to, we were in the hotel and we watched it like three times over because we could.
So anyway, this is what Leia says to Rey about Kylo Ren or Ben. I think you would have to ask Ben what happened to him, she tells Rey.
Which is
a weird thing. What do you think about that? She's telling Rey to go talk to Ben Solo about how he turned to the dark side. What do you think about that?
She heard about the whole weird force connection.
Maybe she felt something.
Yeah, why don't you FaceTime him or something?
Force time.
Ask him a question.
Just don't do it between 6 or 7. That's when he gets his bath.
She's like, never mind. Please warn me on that one. So, what do you think about that?
It's interesting. Maybe she's like trying to be a matchmaker or something. I don't know.
No.
Raylo confirmed. Let's talk more about this. What Leia's mindset is. Rey she's having feelings in this book. Like she's like premonitions or she senses which isn't something to be brushed under the carpet when you're force sensitive. So Leia senses that Rey's powers may be greater even than Luke's in the book. But that she needs someone more powerful than her, meaning Leia, to help her fulfill her destiny.
Baby Yoda.
I don't know.
Not Baby Yoda. It would be Yoda.
Adult Yoda, baby. Could that someone be Kylo Ren or even Emperor Palpatine?
Or Baby Yoda.
I don't know. I think it'll be a Force. She'll start getting trained by Force Ghost. Yoda, maybe... Obi-Wan. No, I think that would be kind of cool. Yeah. Have her start getting trained by, like, Force Ghosts. That'd be kind of neat.
Yeah. 1,000 generations living you now is what Luke says in the trailers.
That's true.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. Let's talk about Finn, what she thinks about Finn. The former stormtrooper is a confusing one for General Organa. Poe vouches for him, which helps his cause. But she's not sure what his heart's truly with the Resistance. She's questioning his loyalty.
You think he's going to be a traitor?
No, I'm just telling you that's what Leia's got concerns. Maybe the fact that he's unstoppably loyal to his friends, Rey, Poe, and Rose, is enough, is what the Article 6. Hmm. What do you guys think? Do you think that Leia's got some second thoughts about
Finn? She always has second thoughts.
What do you mean?
She's always, not skeptical, I wouldn't say, but she's lived long enough to see betrayal, so I think she's...
Careful.
Careful. Hmm. Yes.
I think that's fair. No, I mean, it's a little bit off-putting. A stormtrooper all of a sudden, like, in a day, becomes unstoppably loyal to the Resistance. Like...
Well, I think that's part of the problem. It didn't happen in a day. He wasn't loyal to the Resistance from the beginning. He was using the Resistance to get away from being in the First mm-hmm. Order. And all he wanted to do was save his friend Rey and get the heck out of Dodge. And that's what the whole Last Jedi thing is about. It's only at the end of the Last Jedi that he actually becomes loyal to the Resistance. I think that's an important distinction. And I think that's why the Canto Bight sequence of the Last Jedi is so important. So... Anyway, Maz Kanata. Oh, Poe. Let's talk about Poe because he's like the primary character.
Okay.
In the book, he's a broken man.
Yeah, I think we understood that.
Yeah. No, I mean, it turns out that Poe Dameron's inspiring speech about being the spark that'll light the fire that'll burn the First Order down was just a front.
Hmm. Liar.
He's riddled with guilt for his actions in The Last Jedi. And from the deaths of in the assault on the First Order dreadnought to his mutiny against Vice Admiral Holdo, even though he still thinks that the attack on the dreadnought was a good idea, and he argues for it in the book, but
it was a good idea.
He's actually really, guys. This is serious. Like he's like constantly. The whole premise of the book is he blew it big time, and there's so many people that are dead, and it's his fault, and he's dealing with that the whole book. Like it's not just. Ah, crap, this is war, that sucks, let's go take on the First Order now, which is the way it kind of felt like it ended for him in The Last Jedi. It's more of like, I have blown it. I don't deserve my... Like, he's questioned by snaps. Yeah, I mean, he's got to confess it to people, and they're like... Jeez. I mean, it's a heavy book when it comes to Poe with this. So what do you guys think about that? Do you think that makes him a more interesting character?
Yeah, and I think it'll be... good for him in a way. Like he'll be more mature because of it and will be a better leader in the future because he will not make that mistake again. Like,
yeah. What do you think, Beginning?
Well, I think we've always known that Poe has a very broken past, but I think that the Dreadnought whole plan where everybody died except for a few people really laid heavy on him more than anything else.
Well, and then he led a mutiny.
Exactly. So.
Right.
I mean, he blew it.
He did.
He was one of the most... Remember, we almost like saw him as like the bad guy at one point. Yeah. We did a whole episode right after The Last Jedi came out. We're like, is Poe the bad guy of The Last Jedi? It's like he's without him making all these stupid mistakes, what happens with it? And he's dealing with the consequences of that in the Resistance Reborn novel. It's really interesting. It's a fun thing. Do you think that that's going to change the way he reacts and does things in Skywalker?
Certainly. I think it'd be... a bad decision if that didn't come into play at all.
Cool. All right, Maz Kanata, let's talk about that little orange lady, 1,000-year-old lady. Maz Kanata is still reluctant to choose sides. Okay, you'd forgive Maz Kanata
like for Switzerland?
Kind of. She's a little miffed still that a Resistance First Order skirmish destroyed her castle on Takodana.
Yeah, that kind of upset me.
It also killed her sister, by the way.
Okay,
her sister was there and got killed.
She has a sister?
She had. Past tense.
Ouch. Come on, Dad.
Dad, I'm serious. In the story, she was killed because of that battle. On that battle, she was killed.
That's...
Yeah. So she's clearly one of the good guys. But that it's surprising that she's reluctant to fully sign up to the Resistance cause. Like, Poe goes out of his way, flies to find Maz... sits down with Maz and explains everything he did wrong and how they need her to come and help them rebuild the Resistance. And they need leaders and she's a leader. And she's like, no, I'm not coming with you. with it.
Alrighty then.
Yeah, no, it's serious. Poe calls her an ally, and she is. She does supply the information crucial to the recovery of the First Order's list of enemies to Poe. Which we talked about earlier with this. She still is going to be a presence. We've seen her in some of the art from and trailers from The Rise of Skywalker. She's been mm-hmm. present in small pieces, and they did a shot of her yesterday at the press conference. when they did the big major press conference. But she's going to be in the Rise of Skywalker. But what do you think about the fact that she's reluctant to join up with the Resistance?
I think that she's a loner, and she's just a very wise person, and I feel like that's not where she needs to be. So,
well, I think, you know,
BB Nate dropping a truth bomb.
I think, you know, she obviously knows the First Order is bad. That's an obvious one. But she doesn't fully believe that the Resistance is doing it the best way they could, if that makes sense. I think she kind of just wants to stay neutral, just kind of like fly under the radar. She doesn't want to be a part of this huge war, just kind of rebuild her life, because literally that cantina was her life. So I imagine if everything I knew blew up in a day and then someone said, hey, join our cause, I'd be like...
Especially when that cause was responsible for the death of her sister.
Right. Yeah, I'd be like, I think I'll hold off for a little while.
But she's definitely loyal.
Yes.
To the Resistance. She helps in The Last Jedi. She's very friendly to Poe, and she's very, you know, gracious to Poe. She's got Luke Skywalker, the legacy saber.
Right.
In it. There's a relationship somehow or something that's caused that to take place. So, and then, you know, I still can't get over the fact that a doll of her is present in Anakin's room on Tatooine. Do you think Maz has a much bigger part of this story than we understand at this point?
She is the incarnation of Palpatine.
Oh, jeez. She's the new Palpatine?
No.
All right. So, next one. More old faces have rejoined the fight.
Lando.
No, well, before you get too excited, you have to wait until the Rise of Skywalker to see how Lando Calrissian and even the Emperor Palpatine come back into the fray. There's no way the characters of that magnitude were going to be reintroduced in a mere novel.
Good point.
But there are a couple of treats for fans of the original trilogy.
Will Rohan.
No. General Carlos Ryken. He's the general on the Hoth base.
Oh.
That lets Han Solo leave.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
He's in it. And then, you know, they're joined with Armorako. You don't remember Armorako?
Nope.
I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that. Orimarko. You don't remember him?
Nope.
He appears briefly, barely in focus, during the Rebel briefing in The Return of the Jedi, which hopefully we get to watch in a few minutes. So, he's best known not by that name. He's Pruneface.
Pruneface!
Yeah, he's actually in this novel. He was a figure in the original 1980s Kenner Rage, and a fact referenced by his brilliant robot chicken sketch. It's a big robot chicken. Yeah. There's also a nod in Resistance Reborn to a certain, shall we say, Rebels character. Harrison Dula.
Oh,
I see the ghost. So. The Ace Twi'lek pilot in Star Wars Rebels, seeing as her ship the Ghost is beside it in the most recent Rise of Skywalker trailer, she could be out there somewhere. Now last week I alluded to the fact that there was some chapter that as I read it, I was thinking that this character, a certain character may be showing up and all that. I really thought Hera was getting ready to show up in this book, and I was getting really excited. So I was a bit let down by the fact that she wasn't. I'm super hoping that we see her in
Rise of Skywalker. We do see an ocelot in the whole meeting room in the Rise of Skywalker trailers.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know.
A lasat, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, it was an ocelot. It's like an actual animal.
Yeah, it's an actual animal. It just sounds a lot like a lasat.
It does. So hopefully we'll see some. Maybe we'll see a grown-up Jason Syndulla.
That'd be cool.
He's green and everything, isn't he? No, he had green hair and orange. I don't remember what he looked like. He
kind of looked like an Oompa Loompa.
He did kind of look like an Oompa Loompa. At least what I'm remembering. All right, last one. This one's actually really interesting. Leia has recorded her memories and is passing the baton. She's doing her own Chronicles of Lando Calrissian.
That's how she's going to be in there.
Stand by for the biggest bestseller in a galaxy far, far away. Leia has been busy laying down her life story in the hope that the new generation may learn from the mistakes of the past. Who knows what Star Wars Episode 9 would have been like if Carrie Fisher hadn't passed away in 2016, but there's definitely a sense of the baton being handed over in Resistance Reborn that Poe, Rey, Finn, and Rose has a big part in this one as well, will be taking the lead in the final fight against the First Order as the older generation steps aside. Do you think we'll ever get like the girdle of Leia, General Organa?
That'd be
pretty yes. Cool. I want to see the Chronicles of Lando though.
Well, it's interesting. They did the Legends of Luke Skywalker associated with the Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be interesting if they did sort of like the Journal of Leia Organa or something like that, where she's telling stories that we didn't know?
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be really bittersweet.
That maybe we get the story of her and Han, why they broke up.
Yeah.
Or why they split up. And we understand more about Ben. We understand more about her relationship with Luke. Maybe we learn about Luke training her in the Force at some point,
yeah.
Which is how she could do the Mary Poppins thing, which, by the way, watching Mary Poppins last night, I'm like, I totally see it with it. I'm not trying to pick on that. And not trying to, like, you know, I'm just saying, yeah, I get where it's coming from. So
that's cool.
Anyway, so those are some fun things.
Very interesting. Yeah. Very good.
Give you a little bit of context.
Yeah. Context.
Yeah. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
The Rise of Skywalker didn't have any test screenings.
Oh my goodness. I'm so shocked, since no Star Wars movie has had any test screenings, like, before audiences.
Yeah.
Because they know we're all going to love it.
No, because they don't want the leaks to get out.
Good point.
Yeah. So,
you can get paid $1,000 to binge watch all of the Star Wars movies.
Yeah, but it doesn't just mean watch all of them.
No.
What does it mean?
I don't know.
It means watch them all back to 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 back without sleeping, tweeting the whole time.
That sounds easy.
And I don't know. That would be pretty tough to do.
Hey, as long as it's after finals, I'm good.
There you go. And Rian Johnson is squashing another Star Wars trilogy rumor that it's been canceled again. Finally, seriously? He just dealt with it. They asked him about it. He said, this is his quote, every single day, there's a new thing. Until it's up on StarWars.com, don't believe it. That's what he said.
That is a good bit of advice.
Yeah, it's kind of what we've been saying for about 2 years.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about this week's podcast poll of the week, which is the most interesting nugget from Resistance Reborn. I'm going to ask you guys first. First Order has a hunt list. Leia is unsure why Ben went bad. Poe is broken, or other comment below. Give me your first thought.
Probably Poe. I liked. I'm wondering what more of his backstory is.
Cool.
I was going to say Poe.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really important.
I think that in this one, it's about Leia and Ben, but we'll see. So, what? Where are you pointing?
I'm pointing to your typo.
Oh, Leia. Yeah, I typed it wrong. All right, so we want to thank all of our producers. We're going to go ahead and get out of this thing. Next week is going to be a fun episode, though.
Yes.
It's our prediction show.
Oh, yeah, that one's always fun. Skywalker, is Turbis going to save the day again?
Yes.
You think so?
I'm 100%.
We'll talk about that next week. I want to thank our producers, Michael Conda, DJ Blake, Emily Hoffman, Eric McGilvray, Ian Thompson, and Star Wars Doctrine. All awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Great.
Our senior producers, Kate Disney Lugers. She's a great mama.
Yeah.
Going to be a great mama again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Judith Jesse, hi, Grammy. And Roberto Moreno.
From Switzerland.
Yeah. So thanks, guys, so much. You can become part of our Patreon at patreon.com/TatooineSons. Check us out on socials. We're like at Tatooine Sons on pretty much everything except for that one. What is that? Snapchat?
Yeah, that thing.
I don't know how that works. So, and then give us some reviews. We haven't got any reviews, and probably after this episode, we won't. So this was a bit of a mess. We stopped it 5 times. We had to re-record things, so.
But it was fun.
It was always fun, which is the most important thing. So anything else you guys want to say to our amazing listeners?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you. Always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.
Yep, yep.
Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders.